diversifying our portfolio, diversifying our market concentration, diversifying our client pool was what really was valuable. That made our offering that much more intriguing because we had so much less of a risk for the whole company in real estate or real estate related field. If one submarket suffers and you're super concentrated in one area, you're going to have a lot of risk, right?
What's going on, everybody? This is the Passive Wealth Strategy Show, the show that will teach you how to build wealth with real estate without buying yourself another job. As always, I am your host, Taylor Lode. I'm a real estate investor and I focus on multifamily and self-storage investing. Today, we are joined by Brittany Fairweather. Brittany is the Chief Business Development Officer at TRX Capital, a real estate lending firm focused on business purpose lending. She's been in real estate lending for just about 20 years, and she has an incredible track record of starting and selling businesses, being a serial entrepreneur in the real estate space. And I'm so excited to dive into her story, learn more about what it takes to successfully start, grow, and then sell a company, sometimes to some major institutions, and just to keep going and finding new ideas to start businesses in the real estate space. There's going to be a ton of knowledge out here today. For those of you who are thinking about starting a real estate business or want to take your own business, no matter what it is, to the next level and maybe get ready to sell at some point in the future. So Brittany, thank you so much for joining us today. Can you tell us a bit about what your business is these days? Then we'll rewind the clock a little bit and get into how you got started.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. So as Taylor said, we are TRX Capital is the name of our company, and we are a private money lender. We like to sit somewhere in between institutional banking capital and then what's traditionally known as more hard money, which is really asset-based lending. We focus exclusively on loans made to investors, so business purpose loans. We do not make loans to consumers. We do not make loans for properties that you are going to occupy yourself. We focus exclusively on working with investors, both in the multifamily and single families residential space nationwide.
Nice. Let's rewind the clock and talk about how you got started in real estate. I think a lot of people who want to be in real estate from some angle or another think you need a specific real estate type of education, or you need to go get your real estate license or things along those lines. But the way you got into the real estate space, I think, was unique, but obviously successful. So how did you get started in real estate?
Yes, I did not go to school for anything real estate related. I did not. I got all of my real estate knowledge on the job, going through and fumbling my way through, quite literally learning as I went. So I was actually a musical theater major in school and had every intention of making my way to New York City and landing on Broadway. And ultimately, I don't think I had quite the tough enough thick skin for that. So I decided that I was going to make a little bit of a pivot. And I'd always been through college, I'd always been in sales roles in some form or fashion. And so I ended up moving back home and reconnecting with who now is my partner to this day, my mentor, an amazing woman in this business icon in this industry, really. And I reconnected with her at the gym, actually. And she said, why don't you come over and come work with my partner and I? We just started a mortgage brokerage. At the time, this was almost 20 years ago. And we were able to just operate a standard mortgage brokerage that was helping homeowners, helping some local investors acquire assets and get loans on those properties. We also had a real estate brokerage. So we were buying and selling and working with investors and homeowners. So her partner at the time, he has since passed. He was super in tune with watching and learning from the historical real estate cycles and seeing where the peaks and valleys have shifted and risen and fallen. And we were having a conversation, and it was pre-2008, so the crash hadn't really happened yet. And we were watching lots of mortgage originators, lots of other mortgage lenders start to either go out of business, merge with others. And we're seeing the loans that were being made that were the option arm mortgages and stated income, and really seeing that there was going to be some correction that was needed in the industry, and watching a lot of our colleagues get close their doors. And we started talking to some local real estate investors, and we realized that there was really a need for capital to be more available to real estate investors that was not conventional mortgage banks. And the kind of combination of those conversations and the realization that something was coming and something big was going to change our business in a very meaningful way made us sit down and really realize what we can be our own bank. We have the background in underwriting, in processing. We've had to sell our loans to all of these larger institutions. We know what they're all looking for. We know how to have strong credit quality in a file. And so we started putting together a pool of capital. We started out fractionalizing loans. We were taking different pools of capital from some just local investors, high net worth individuals that we knew, some other mortgage originators that we also had been in the business with. And then we would pull that together and lend it to these investors that we were working with. Everything was short term, 3 to 6 months. They were all flipping. They were buying properties at the courthouse steps, buying these early foreclosures at the time. And the company just grew from there. And we were able to provide our investors with really strong returns, continuing to turn the capital. We still work with those investors today. And we put an institutional spin on what at the time was just the Wild West from a lending perspective. And it was really the first time that type of credit quality, that type of underwriting, track record verification, financial review had been done on a lot of these investors. And the investors we were working with were buying for massive institutional rental aggregators. We know who they were at the time. We probably would have kept a little bit better track of them, but we were all we were just trying to figure out how to really make capital available to local real estate investors and improve their businesses.
Awesome.
And we started that company, and that was the very first baby that we had.
That's great. And it's very interesting timing and interesting connections that you were able to make at a great time in your life and in the market, getting connected with that one person who saw the crash coming a little bit and drove the pivot at a great time. And then you were able to come up with a new product or a new service, if you will, for investors out there, make that pivot successfully, and then grow and treat it with an institutional spin, like you said. So let's get into the later years of that business and how it was exited. What was the step out of that world? What did that look like?
So like I said, because we were using our knowledge from the conventional mortgage background that we had, Trixie, who's my partner and who's the founder of the company, her background was at Wells Fargo. So we were very tight box that we were used to underwriting to and looking at. So because we took a lot of those philosophies and underwriting best practices into the way we were looking at the loans for these investors, we were able to attract some of the first institutional capital to leverage the money that we had raised. And so we were introduced through her relationships from Wells Fargo to their capital markets and banking side of the business. And they gave us our first warehouse facility so that we could essentially borrow from them and lend it out in larger scale to the local investors that we were working with. So the loans were still secured by real estate, still secured by hard assets, still made to credit-worthy, experienced investors, but we were able to leverage the capital that we had and get a little bit more scale because Wells Fargo was like, you guys know what you're doing. Like, we're comfortable with this asset as collateral because we see that you have that more stringent process in place. And we grew the company. We started just in California, lending, like I said, to local investors there. And we grew strategically. So we grew immediately into markets where we had clients that were already starting to scale. So we grew into Arizona, into Nevada, into markets where they had established a local presence, boots on the ground, and we were comfortable going into those markets with that expertise. And that slowly started to scale. We moved to be a nationwide lending platform. and we were lending on new construction, bridge loans for flippers, and we eventually started doing long-term rental loans as well, so we could do all the different pieces of the puzzle for all the clients that we were working with nationwide. And one thing we started to realize was that the borrowers that we were working with were starting to have a lot of competition, and the newer investors that were coming into the space who were a little bit less educated were starting to drive up some of the prices on the assets and through the different avenues where they were used to getting their inventory. And so we started to try to figure out other ways that we could get inventory to those borrowers that we were working with that would still be the right pricing, because we could see that just deploying capital to deploy capital was not profitable. And we were seeing that our borrowers, who also had that philosophy, were buying less. So they were lending, they were borrowing less. And so we're like, okay, we're going to have to feed our other machine. And so figuring out how to find them the right types of asset quality that they need to be able to buy discounted properties. So we started selling on an online auction platform that we created inventory from banks and servicers that were distressed, that maybe had title impairments, legal issues, vacant properties that were severely distressed, code violations, things that your regular average homeowner would not be able to buy because a conventional mortgage lender would not lend on them. And so we knew that our investors had the ability to underwrite that risk, because that was all a part of what they were doing when they were buying foreclosures from the auctions and things like that. They were renovating the properties, they were repairing them. So anything that, any blight, any code violations, anything like that was going to be all fixed as a part of their scope of work. And so we got comfortable with being able to sell the assets for the banks to the borrowers that were borrowing our capital. And then we could keep deploying. Our investors stayed happy, our borrowers stayed happy, and we were able to put all the pieces together for them. And those two companies both scaled to be nationwide. So we were able to really strategically go into the markets where we saw the banks started to have more foreclosure inventory, where we saw there was really a need for the investors to either expand into a different type of asset class or another local market. And that's how we really propelled the expansion nationwide. And we operated both of those companies for about 10 years, took them to our first, I remember right before our sale, we had hit our first annual $1 billion in originations on the mortgage, on the lending platform, which was awesome. And it was so exciting. And then, and we were able to, through our relationship with Wells Fargo, they introduced us to some really great capital partners, private equity groups that came in and helped us scale even further, helped us really open up different product suites, help us open up different asset classes that we just didn't have enough capital to be able to deploy. And that turned into ultimately getting an institutional buyer to come in and acquire the company. And 9 months after that, another large investor came in and acquired the auction platform. So we sold the lending company and the auction platform, both within about 9 months of each other, one to Goldman Sachs, one to Fidelity, and we were able to see our babies really take flight.
That's incredible. So what I'm thinking of, trying to think of a better way to phrase this question, but my inference is that your success isn't an accident, right? That's selling two companies to institutional buyers, big money buyers successfully. That's a big deal. And then going on to start what you've started today, also a big deal. So what I'm leading to here is like the question of what is your superpower? What has enabled you to maintain these business relationships, to build these different products, services, platforms, businesses, brands, things like that, and sell them off and just continue going? What's your superpower?
I'd like to think of it as a superpower. I just talk too much. So I think what's really different about our company and our team, we've all been together since the beginning, practically. We stayed together. We're all really passionate about real estate, but also all of the other benefits that come with real estate investing. So there's such a huge need for homeownership and housing in our country. There is a huge neighborhood revitalization that occurs when properties are renovated and families move into them. And on top of all of that, by working with really local groups, we are furthering the local economy by really keeping jobs in the neighborhoods and for these families who are living in these houses. And so we've always really just wanted to listen and figure out the best way to identify what these investors have needed to be able to continue to grow, to be able to continue to provide housing, create housing opportunities, create homeownership opportunities, and really improve all of the neighborhoods that we live in. And so I think if we had a superpower, it really would just be listening, because every company we've started has been, its infancy has come from a need that was in the marketplace, whether that be a need for a type of loan product or a need for more inventory or a need for some business tangential or a business that was associated with real estate. You know, we've invested and created all these different types of platforms, and they've all really come from a client of ours or an investor that we work with sitting down and saying, my business would be so much stronger if I could do or have this. And so that's really, I think, what we could attribute a lot of our success to, is just being able to listen to our clients and our relationships and our investors and be able to provide a solution.
Makes sense. So can you walk us through the process or the lessons learned throughout the process of selling those companies to institutions? Now, you'd been doing business with institutions. You had your warehouse facility to get credit from or get capital from to lend out. So it's not like you were brand new to dealing with institutions generally, but I think the thing that probably they find is once they get a look under the hood, maybe they have some comments or things like that and they want changes. I don't know. Can you walk us through that process of selling those companies to institutional buyers? That's really interesting.
Yeah, it was a labor of love, that's for sure. It's like you have this beautiful baby and then someone comes in and is like, oh, your baby's cute, they should be a model. And then they get to know your baby and they're like, oh, your baby's personality has some quirks. You called my baby ugly? But it definitely was eye-opening, and it was an interesting process to understand and take criticism a little bit differently, because to your point, there's always things that come up, questions that are asked. They dive into every detail, every minutia, audited financials. And we have a mortgage fund, so we've provided all that stuff for years. We've been totally comfortable with that. But really, the biggest lesson I think we learned there is just that diversifying our portfolio, diversifying our market concentration, diversifying our client pool was what really was valuable. That made our offering that much more intriguing, because we had so much less of a risk for the whole company. Because especially in real estate or real estate related field, if one submarket suffers and you're super concentrated in one area, you're going to have a lot of risk, right? And so I think that what not only the institutional quality and the lens that we took at looking at our underwriting for the lending side specifically, but also just the diversification in the buyer pool for the auction platform, the diversification in the licensing that we had to be able to sell assets nationwide, all of those things, I think, were what really made us more intriguing and more interesting to some of our institutional partners. I mean, at the time, everyone had a need, a desire to get into private credit. Now it seems like we're kind of in that space again, where there's a lot of institutional interest in private credit. So it's interesting to watch some of that happen a decade later. But
nice.
I think that would probably be what was the biggest learning lesson. And then really going through all of that, I would say too, more of as an afterthought and a lesson after the fact, is how important it is for us now in our business today to also have that diversification, not necessarily in where we're lending and what we're doing, but where we're getting our capital, because we don't ever want to be beholden to one source, right? Because it makes us that much more relevant and flexible to be able to have so many different sources of capital. And I think that's where today we have the most value.
You sold the companies, you got out of the game, you retired from the game, but they just couldn't keep you out. You decided you just had to come back and get started again in the space. Why? I mean, I think a lot of folks envision themselves maybe building and selling a company or multiple companies and saying, that's it, I'm done, I'm retired, good to go, no problem. But you decided to get back in the game. What drove that decision?
Again, it really was because we just wanted to continue working with our clients and the relationships and the investors that we'd grown up with in the industry. And we were still all fairly young when the company sold, and the idea of not working wasn't really interesting to us. We are gluttons for punishment, but we all still stayed working together. Even after the sales, we were doing other things. The investors that we had grown through the very first mortgage fund wanted to continue investing with us because we had given them successful returns and they trusted us. And we really had built this relationship with them where they knew that we were going to stand behind what we said. And so they still wanted to continue working with us and helping and having us help them deploy their capital. And we started listening again, having conversations with some of the people we were selling inventory to on the auction platform, and asking the questions of what types of properties are they looking for? What is it today that you need to be able to grow this part of your portfolio? And it was when Build for Rent was really becoming a big phenomenon. And so we ended up going out and buying land with our investors. And we bought about 2,000 sites across the country, mainly in the Southeast in high demand markets where there was a need for housing and a need for and a strong interest in rental housing specifically. And so we created a product where we would put a local home builder with a parcel of land and then introduce them to someone who would give them a forward purchase contract. So as soon as you build this house and you have your CFO, then we will buy it from you at this price. So they were able to get a guaranteed resale, know that they were going to make their margin and continue to build in an environment where there wasn't really a super strong capital stack for that. In doing all of that, we realized that there was a need for a lender that could do all of those things, that could help an investor buy land, that could use a local builder's track record of building homes for homeowners and building for sale to create the right type of a house that would be attractive to an institutional investor, and then be able to finance them easily through the construction process, which was not something that was done being done very well, and then be able to either help them sell that or move it to a long-term rental loan. And in doing that, we've actually been able to help create investment portfolios for local home builders that have decided they wanted to start being property managers and landlords. And it's really been an amazing process because we've been able to really see these local markets grow and these local business owners just create amazing lift for their businesses and for their families. And so now we're here doing it all over again.
That's awesome. And it's quite the journey that you've had. And I'm sure there's many more things coming down the road. Again, I think a lot of folks who have that kind of drive to create companies, whether it's in real estate or otherwise, a lot of folks kind of dream of that exit to sell it to somebody else and sail off into the sunset, if you will, and go do whatever they want. But I think the drive that it takes to actually achieve that, or the type of person who has the drive to put in the work and do what it is required to achieve that, causes somebody, once they go sail off into the sunset after the exit, they say, I'm bored. I want to go do something else. I want to stay engaged. I want to go build another company. And that seems to be a very common theme to me amongst folks like yourself, who, I don't read too much into what you said, but like yourself, who have that success, particularly when they're younger, decide being on vacation the rest of my life just isn't for me. I want to get back in the game. And that's what you did. Awesome. Right now, we're going to take a quick break for our sponsor.
Are you looking for a way to easily track your rental property finances? Check out Stessa. Stessa makes managing real estate investments simple. You can easily keep track of the performance, finances, and the paper trail of your rental properties. Our listeners can get started for free and then upgrade at any time to unlock their more advanced tools. And the even better news is that the upgrade is very affordable and will not break your bank. Smart investors know that tracking the numbers, tracking the money, tracking the finances is what really drives your success. Check out Stessa. It'll make your property finances easier. Just go to escapingwallstreet.com, scroll down to the Stessa logo, and get started for free. Now back to the show.
All right, Brittany, I've got three questions I ask every guest on the show. Are you ready?
Okay, let's hear them.
Great. Number one, what's your number one book recommendation?
It is one that's going to throw you for a loop, and it's really not necessarily a book, but if I have the opportunity to read, which doesn't happen very often, I will, sadly, I will pick something that is so far removed from my actual life that I just get lost in another world. So my favorite book is the Harry Potter series.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah. Love Harry Potter.
I love to, if I'm going to read, I love to just get completely lost in another world.
Return to a more innocent age, if you will.
Yes. Like that.
Question number two, who or what inspires you?
My team inspires me. The people that we work with inspire me. And that's ultimately why we do what we do and why we're still together, is because we just love to work together and we love problem solving together and figuring out new products and needs in our industry and investing in other companies that we believe in. And so I think that's probably the number one inspiration I have, in addition to my family, my children, but our team is really why we're all still here together.
Question number three, think about Brittany at 80 years old. If you could sit down and have a conversation or maybe have a Zoom call with 80-year-old Brittany, what advice or feedback do you think 80-year-old Brittany would give Brittany of today?
I think that she would tell herself to listen to her own advice earlier in life. I wish for myself, even today, so I know that 80-year-old me would also wish for this, that I would have really started investing myself into real estate sooner and started to really build that portfolio of wealth specific to real estate, just seeing how valuable it is and seeing how we've watched and helped others grow. I wish that I would have had a me when I was really just starting out that said, yeah, that's the goal you have. Absolutely. Let's do that. Let's figure out how to make that happen for you. So I think that I would say she would tell me to listen to your own advice sooner.
That's a good one. Brittany, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and sharing this knowledge, your story, and doing a deep dive with us. If folks want to reach out and get in touch, where could they find you?
We are on Instagram and LinkedIn, TRX Capital or TRX Cap Fund. And our website is trxcapfund.com. And my email is Brittany, BRITTNEY at trxcapfund.com.
Great. Thank you once again for joining us today. To everybody out there, thank you for tuning in. If you're enjoying the show, please take a moment and leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe and catch us here every weekday. Right now, I hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you on the next one. Great. Thank you once again for joining us today. To everybody out there, thank you for tuning in. If you're enjoying the show, please take a moment and leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe and catch us here every weekday. Right now, I hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you on the next one.